And we are going to wrap up the study we've been going on for several weeks now on how to start a fight. And when we started this, the original intent for this series was something really different than what this series ended up being. The original intent of this series was to teach on worship. To teach on worship. And the tendency with worship, and we talked a little bit about this last week, is that oftentimes worship is something that we have become accustomed to just jumping in and doing. That worship is an action, worship is a song, worship is something that we do. It's something that we are often led into, we're told to do, that we've allocated time for. Let's worship. Come on, we need to worship God. This is our worship time. We're going to worship together. And to dive right into this aspect of what is worship, and we've been conditioned for that. And my natural response in teaching worship was to do very much the same. We just jump in and let's talk about worship. Let's talk about the different kinds of worship and how we worship and all of these things. But as I studied and I looked to God's word, what did I discover in that is there is work that goes in prior to worship. There is an action, there is an effort that happens beforehand that determines the authenticity of our worship. It's the work before the worship that makes worship what it needs to be. And I wrote it this way, there's a little phrase here that we say it this way, that worship isn't an action, it's a reaction. Worship isn't a song, even though there can be worship through a song. Worship isn't a time in a service, even though that it can be manifested in that. That worship is a response to something that has happened prior. That when worship is done right, it is a unstoppable, authentic response that comes from inside me. It's something that I'm not hyped up to do. It's not anything that someone can force me into or lead me into or even needs to remind me. That worship is something that happens that's uncontrollably, that you can't stop it because of what has happened prior in my life. And we've been following this story and how it ended in God answering the prayer of Jehoshaphat and giving them victory. And we saw that they worshiped and praised going into the battle and through the battle and after the battle. But it was all the things that led up to that was made the difference, that when I recognize that I'm in a battle, when I recognize that there is a power that is greater than I am, that is trying to control me and overwhelm me and put my soul at risk, that there is a real fear that grips me when I understand what is truly at stake, and when I recognize that God is the only one that can save me, that my best efforts don't measure up, that my life is on a destruction course unless I have a Savior, and I realign my actions, my priorities according to His will. And when I do and I recognize Him as my Lord and Savior, it changes everything. And when I do that, it puts me and my battle into His hands. And when I look at God's track record, that He has never failed, He has never lost. He has never come close. He has never been defeated. That when I see this, that my life was a certain of destruction. My life was going to be overwhelmed. When the fear that was so real, when I realized that now I am in God's hands and He will never, ever lose. There is something that bubbles up within me that just says, I have to worship. I have to celebrate. The fight hasn't even started yet. Maybe the battle isn't even over yet, but I know the end because I know my Savior. It's not anything that you can do to try to cajole me into or try to get me to fire me up to try to worship when I recognize and I put the work in ahead of time, the way that God's word has told us that worship is this natural response. Then my life was lost. It scared me to death, but I have a Savior, and you can't keep me quiet. Worship is a response. It's uncontrollable. It's something just exudes out when we follow God's process. And when worship is authentic, it's powerful. Worship is what ushers in the power in the presence of God, because worship becomes an act of faith. It says, God, even though you haven't answered yet, I'm worshiping because I know that you are an answerer. God, even though you haven't healed, I'm worshiping because I know that you are a healer. God, even though you haven't taken down that wall yet in my life, I'm worshiping because I know that you are able. And it is an act of faith, and God honors faith. That's why God inhabits the praises. God inhabits the worship of his people. It's not about the volume. Worship is not defined by how loud you are. It's not about your energy level. It's not whether you're jumping and doing cartwheels or if you're flat on your face. That doesn't matter. That's not what defines it. There's a balance in our worship, and we talked about that. It can't be led. It can't be coached. It can't be conditioned. It is unique to who you are and the circumstance that God has saved you from and how you are responding to your Savior. It's powerful. It's emotional. It's not disruptive. True worship, understand me, it's not disruptive. Because worship is all about him, not me. And so I'm going to worship him in a way that doesn't bring attention to me, but brings attention to him. And there's a balance, and there's this perfect harmony when it's done right. There's the presence of God that we feel, and we celebrate who he is. And worship is a response, and say it this way, that worship is the appropriate response to this statement. This next slide is this: I was lost, but I am being saved. I'm not in heaven yet, but I can worship him because I know God's plan for me. In the same way that we celebrate someday being in eternity with our Savior, is the same way that we can celebrate God not answering us yet. Because we're still here. We're still in the process of being saved. He is there. He is there working with us. He is still there day by day. It's not over yet. We're not in heaven celebrating yet. But I can worship just like that. I can worship him because of that. In the same way, well, I still have my problem. You can still worship him. I still am facing this hardship. You can still worship him. And we talked about that, worship going in like you will going out. Worship is so important. Worship is meaning this, that I truly understand that I have a Savior. I truly understand what that means, where I came from, what my life would be. Worship is so important because it says this, that I truly understand what God has done for me, and I'm responding. I'm responding to that. Worship identifies lordship in our life. So I ask the question that really I wanted to start off with, but we've taken 7 weeks to get to this point, and the question is this, that are we worshipers? Are you a worshiper? Are we a worshiping church? Really? I mean, we sing worship songs. That's awesome. It's great. But are we going through the motions? Is it something that we find ourselves doing to do? How do we worship when we come together? Is it got to be pulled and tugged? Or is it just like, oh. Do you worship in your home? Do you worship throughout the day? Are you a worshiper? I'm not talking about going through the motions. I'm just saying, is that question, you put that last slide back up again, is this truly the response in your life? I was lost, and I know what that means. truth is, and again, this is what I felt God leading in this whole series is to get us to this point, is this, the honest truth is, I think we're struggling. And I'd love to be optimistic. I tend to be optimistic, too much so. I love seeing it like, oh, you're great. You're awesome. But the truth is, I think we're slipping. I want to be a worshiper. Because that designates to everyone that I come in contact with that He's Lord in my life and I understand what He's done for me. The power of what He's done for me. I think we're struggling though. And for those of you that would argue with me, is like, no, we're not struggling. I'd invite you to come up and lead songs next Sunday. And just watch as you are watched. Go watch the people sing. Go through the motions. Because there's an apathy that can so easily set in to us. And there's no worship, and there's a fight to worship. Do you know why? Because we're fighting a deceiver. And we talked about that in lesson one. That we've become comfortable. It's just not in our songs or just not in our prayer. And even at the altar, when we have an altar call, and what? We get 3-4 people at an altar call. God help us. Of people that say, I'm a Christian, I love God, He's my Lord. And you've forgotten what God has done. That we'll watch people come to an altar and pray. And we stand back because we think we're okay. We've lost the balance of what it means to be lost and saved. See, remember, if you've been in church at any length of time, there's this aspect of, oh, you're just acting like a new convert. New converts are like, you know, reaching people and sharing what God has done, and they're just on fire, and all the established church people look at them and say, just give them some time. They'll be like us. But you know why? Because they have a proper perspective of, I was lost, now I am found. And that changes everything. The problem is we've allowed what it meant to be lost to escape us. And we've become okay. We've become good. And we're lessening what God has done. And so we've substituted worship with the actions of worship. We think that we're a worshiper because we sing worship songs. We think that we're a worshiper because we pray during the time that we all pray together, or that we go through those acts of worship, and we've allowed the act of worship to replace the heart of worship. And this isn't new. This isn't just our 20th century culture, 21st century culture. We're so inundated with everything else, and we're so captured with everything else that we become comfortable going through the motions. This has been since God has been dealing with man. Isaiah writes this. Look at this. This is as true then as it is true today. Look at what Isaiah says. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. They sing the songs. They say the words. They're doing all of the right actions, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they've been taught. We know the songs. We know the words. We know the actions. We show up. We attend. We sing. We put forth where we're at. But are we truly worshiping God? Is it who we are, not what we do? And I recognize tonight that I'm speaking in large part to the faithful. You're here on a Wednesday night. God bless you. God bless you. But the truth is that we still need to hear this. We still need to be taught this. And whether someone is here to hear it or not, it's still being taught. And ultimately, they're going to be responsible. You're going to be responsible. I'm going to be responsible. And it's not time for us to point fingers at anybody but ourselves and ask that tough question, am I really where I need to be with God? Am I really where I need to be with God? Or have I become comfortable? And I want to go in a different direction tonight. I was going to close in a different way, but here these past couple of weeks I've been studying for another message, but yet this idea is so tied into what we've been talking about. I want to close this series with this. I want to talk about a different way of judging and our position with God, because I think we've become comfortable. We've become okay with where we're at. So I want to give a little different perspective on this. And in dealing with worship, I want to go really way back and say, am I in the right place? Is my heart right? Is my heart right? Because on average, I think we could go and we could pass the mic around. And if we're honest, and not to embarrass anybody, and we wouldn't do this. But if we say, you know, where are you with God? And I think most people that call this church their church home would say, I'm okay. Okay, I'm not perfect, you know, I'm not walking on water, you know, and there's ways for me to improve, but you know what, I'm good. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm growing. God's still working on me, but I feel okay. I feel good. But God was speaking to me here this last week, and it just messed me up so bad, and just honestly, I was here and just fell on my face and had to repent. You need to be glad that you have a pastor that repents and realizes, folks, I don't have the answers. God does. Never look to me as your example. You look to God. He's the only one. He's the only one. And you know what? I need to be changed as much as anybody needs to be changed. We said we have a hierarchy chart in this church. It is God, and then there's the rest of us. And God's got a role for you and got a role for me. But we need God, and we need to keep challenging ourselves. Am I where I need to be? Well, you're a pastor. That's not it. Am I where I need to be? And as I was praying, as I was studying, God just spoke to my heart, and I want to share this. Because we battle with apathy. We battle with this idea that I'm okay in our relationship with God, and I think we're missing it. And if we get it right, it's going to change everything. And if we get it wrong, it's going to change everything. The problem is that we're using the wrong measure to define our place with God. And I wrote it down this way, that our relationship with God is defined not in times of rest, but in times of tension. In times of conflict, not in times of harmony. And I'm not talking about external conflict or situations or problems in our life. I'm talking about conflict between you and God. Between your will and God's will. Your way and God's way. When you go head to head with God, and it's something that God's way, God's time, God's place, God's process, God's path, and what I want. That I go head to head, it's what defines my relationship with God, not when everything is going okay. To give you a picture of this, I want to use a very natural example. It's this, is that if we look at a heartbeat, the measure of what's keeping you alive is that heartbeat that is measured with the blip. There's a very quick electrical pulse that is fired into your heart. And again, I don't pretend to be a doctor, and I don't play one on TV, and I don't know much, but I do, but I have a connection to the internet and I can read. But there's a quick little blip, there's an electrical pulse that goes through, and that heart responds. It responds to that spark, that beat. And as a result of when that heart beat, all kinds of things happen. Blood is moved through, nutrients are moved through, oxygen is moved through, until the next time that there's tension, until the next time that there's that little pulse, that a little electricity, boom, and there's a beat. There's a beat. Heart beats. And our heart beating is measured here, not here. It's measured here, not here. And if your heart were to skip a beat, you wouldn't fall over dead by missing one beat. But you would start to notice. When your heart skips a beat, there's a flutter. There's a feeling that, ooh, something isn't right. Something didn't fire as it should. And if your heart continues to miss beats, you will begin to notice in a very big way, something isn't right. Something isn't firing right. Something isn't working right. The body isn't responding right. And if your heart continues to miss beats after that, you won't notice it at all. You'll fail to realize that it's even a problem, and we call that being dead. Because what we've said is this, is that what happens here didn't happen. We measure life here, not here. We don't say, well, you know, I just missed this one little part, but everything here is the same. Well, you get enough of these without these, we call that a flat line. That's not a good indicator. Very natural. But when it comes to measuring our faith with God, we've been deceived by the deceiver into measuring our walk with God by these spaces and not this. It's when me and God come into conflict and I've got to decide who is truly Lord of my life in that moment and in that decision, not when I'm just going through life and I'm not tempted and I'm not challenged and I'm going through it and everything is fine. That our relationship with God is determined in times of tension with God. It's in times of conflict with God, not when everything's going good. You say, what do you mean by conflict? Any time that God wants something different than what I want. And truth is, that happens often. That happens all the time. Let me give you an example, okay? And you all pass because you're here. It's Wednesday night. It's Wednesday night. Do we go to Bible study tonight? Well, you know God works on you during Bible studies. God works through you during this time of Bible study. There's opportunities for you to serve, opportunities for you to grow, opportunities for you to become closer to God. And we talked about the opportunities for you to make a difference in people's life. It says, I'm putting God first. This time is God's time. This is a time when we come together that it's on a schedule. It may not fit. It may not work well with you. There may be all kinds of things that you can do and choose to do other than come to this time. And this is in a moment, in just a moment, I've got to make a decision. Am I coming or am I staying? Am I going or am I staying? I need to decide in the moment, in just that little bit of a decision point, who is truly Lord? What is more important? Do I go even though it's a sacrifice or do I stay? Is my schedule, my desire, my life more important? In that moment of tension, I make a decision. And when we say no, it's just for a moment. Because right after that, what happens? Okay, decision made. But understand what happened. You just missed a beat. What you said, God, in the moment when we come head to head, I'm Lord. In the moment when there is conflict, I'm God. It's my way, my schedule, my future, my desire, my will. And in the moment, and it's just a short amount of conflict, I win. And then we go back to being okay. And what do we say? I'm good. Nothing's wrong. Me and God are good. I'm good. He's Lord of my life. He's God, I love him. Oh, just what happens the next time that he challenges us again? Who wins? Who loses? Because when the tension's passed, I'm back to loving God and calling him Lord. Anytime. Ah, time to tithe. Ugh. I got all kinds of reasons why I shouldn't. But who's God? It's time to serve. We should stop asking about that. Just give me a moment. We'll pass. We can not think about that anymore. But who won? All through our life, our faith is defined not when everything is going good with God, but when we have to decide who is God. Let me check yourself. You say, well, you know what? Not me. That's not a problem with me. I'm good. You need to check yourself. Maybe you've missed so many heartbeats that your relationship with God is dead and you don't even realize it. That you've, every time that there's been a conflict, that you've won and you've won and you've won, so your relationship with God is just flatlined and you don't even realize it anymore. Because every time when there is a decision, who is God in my life, I make the decision for my way, not God's way. My plans, not God's plans. My future, what is most convenient for me, what is most desirable for me, not God's way. And then we stand up and we say, oh, he's Lord, he's God. And we wonder why there's no heart for worship. Because where are we at? Could it be that all we have left really is just going through the motions? Where are we at? Where's our heart? Let me just say this. He's not your Lord if you're not submitting to him. Lordship is submission to him, not negotiation with him. Lordship is humbling ourselves to saying, not my will, but your will. Not, Lord, this isn't convenient for me right now. I'll make it up later. Not, Lord, I'm sure you're going to understand about this. Lord, you know how important this is to me. You see, the thing of it is that God uses these points of tension, but God also works his plan. This is part of how God works. You don't need an external crisis. You know how easy it is when all hell breaks loose in your life and you find it so easy to pray? When you get a call from your friend at work saying, hey, they're laying off people in the morning. What do? It's easy to pray, isn't it? Oh, God, I need you. I got tension here. Oh, God, there's things that I don't know that are outside of my control. I don't know how it's going to work. When there's something in your life, there's a sickness, there's uncertainty, you don't know how you're going to pay the bills, you're up against something. What is it? There is a natural tendency that drives us to God. God has said this, I have put that into the relationship with you. That it's part of your everyday life, because here's how it works. Here's how it works, is that you go up and you says, oh, it's Wednesday night. I got to get up early tomorrow. I got all kinds of reasons. I got to get up early for work tomorrow. But you know, it's Wednesday night. Okay, who's going to win this? Okay, God, I'm going to put you first. I don't know how it's going to work. You know what I'm up against. You realize that this has the power to overcome me. This is going to sound real familiar, because we're just going to go back through what we've been talking through this next past 7 weeks. This is something that could destroy me. You know what's at stake, and I don't have it. I'm overwhelmed and overpowered, but I recognize you as Lord of my life. So in this moment of decision, even though it's just seemingly something small, it's what defines and characterizes my relationship with you, and I don't want to miss what you're doing. So in faith, I am saying, you are Lord. And we pile the kids in the car and we go to the Wednesday service and we go through and we say, do you know what? I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know what's going to happen. I may be very tired in the morning, but I tell you what, I'm standing here because God is Lord of my life, which means this, when I am in his hands, my future is in his hands, my problems are in his hands, my resources are in his hands, and God has never, nor will he ever fail. So I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I am here celebrating that I don't have to worry about it. And don't ask me to worship, because I came worshiping in obedience to what what God is doing in my life. You can't shut me up, because tomorrow morning I know I'm going to walk in with the God that says, you're faithful to me, I'm faithful to you. Watch how I can do the impossible. Watch how I can open doors. And moment after moment, decision after decision, what seems so small, what seems so little, when I live a life that says, you are Lord of my life, what does that do? It says, you know what? I'm Lord. What happens? Resources go through my body. Health goes through my body. All the things that God put in place is there. And I begin to live the life of what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of God, to be one that says that God is my Savior. I was lost, but He found me. And in every decision, every moment, I want to reflect that, because it changes everything. It changes everything. God, I recognize you as Lord. God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, but here's my first. It's in your hands, and I celebrate and I worship. God, you know my schedule. You know what's dear to me, but you know what? I'm plugging in to serve, because you are Lord in my life. God, you know that they were wrong. You know that it was their fault, but I'm going to forgive them because you forgave me, because you are Lord of my life. Lord, you know that I struggle with that, but you know what? I'm putting things in place and people in my life to saying that you are greater, and because you are Lord of my life, God, I'm going to come in knowing that all of these things that could destroy me and would destroy me are now in the hands of my Savior. And I'm still going through it, and I'm still moving on, and I'm coming in worshiping because I know that He is in control, that I'm worshiping, and you can't stop me, because it is a reflection of who God is in me. What if we lived that way? What if you lived a life that every time there was a conflict, God's way or my way, that we chose God's way? Do you think your situations would change? Do you think you'd have more to celebrate? Do you think you'd have more to point back on and say, oh, I didn't know how it was going to happen, but man, look at what God did in my life. Do you think that God would be there every single time? Then why not? Because we're facing a deceiver who's lied to us, and we've become comfortable. And it's got to go back to saying, okay, God, are you Lord of my life or not? Do I trust you? That if we don't trust God, then we don't serve Him. And if we don't serve Him, we're not His. When there is no worship response in us, it's not because God is any less worthy of our worship. It's I've pulled myself away from the things that would cause me to worship, that I've taken control of my life. And when I do that, it looks like what God is doing isn't as great as what it seemed to be. Because I've got this. I'm running with it. I'm taking control of this, that I don't have to trust you as much anymore. Therefore, what you are doing, it's good. It's good. It's okay. It's worthy of a worship song on a Sunday morning. It's worthy of a few moments to say that, you know, I love God and He's done so many good things for me. Instead of realizing this, that you were dead and God brought you back to life. That you are worthy of hell and nothing better. And God says, I want you to be my child. That I died for you. That's what it means to have a relationship with God. That's what it means to be faithful. It's in the sacrifice. It's when God says, hey, who's going to be God in your life? It's in that moment. Who's going to be God? Who's going to be God? Who's going to be God? And what it is, it says, oh, choosing you is worship. Choosing you creates worship in me. Paul writes about this, and this verse that you've heard is going to take on a different light now that you're looking at it from this perspective. But look at what he writes. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to what? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Meaning this, God, you win. God, you win. God, you win. God, you're Lord. God, this is difficult. Sacrificing isn't easy. Sacrifice hurts sometimes. Sacrifice is a struggle. Sacrifice isn't what is best for me in what I look at for my humanity and my comfort and what I have planned. But it's saying, your Lord, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And what is it? It's holy. It sets us apart. It's pleasing unto God. And what does he say? This is your true and proper worship. Worship. It says this, that it is part of worshiping you, that my sacrifice is saying, it's you, God, it's you, God. It changes and says, this is how I'm worshiping. I'm a worshiper. You can't quiet me. You can't quiet me, because you know what? I'm stepping into things that scare me. I'm stepping into things that are difficult, but there is something in me that realizes that the alternative isn't just my way. It's eternity without God. It's not my way or God's way. It's either with God or without God. And I can't imagine a life without God. I need him as my Savior. I need him as my Lord. And that's not defined when everything's going good. It's not defined when me and him are on the same page and there's no conflict. It's defined when I have to choose who is Lord of my life. Is it going to be me or is it going to be God? That's what defines it. That's what defines it. And by faith, when I say, God, this is a sacrifice, God, you know, this is so hard, this is so scary, this is so frightening, but in faith, Lord God, you win. And so I've got to trust you. And when I begin to trust you, I begin to see how great you are. And when I see you answering and dealing with all those things, that all of the fears and uncertainties that I trusted you with, there is something in me that worships you and says, he has never failed me. When I placed him first, he has never failed me. You know, I've never taken a risk in God's favor that it's ever ended up bad. I've never taken a risk in God's favor where I came out on the losing side. But every single time, God has been there. God has provided. God has done the impossible. And you don't have to provoke me to worship. You don't have to pull it out of me. I'm standing here witnessing that just this week, again and again, God's been there. Yesterday, God's been there. Today, God's been there. When I worship him as it was intended, God, here I am. Here's my heart. Here's your way. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. So when there is no worship in you, when there's a fight, when there's a hesitancy, have you missed that there's a fight going on? Have you been deceived to not realize that there is something tugging at your soul? That there is a battle. There is a battle trying to pull you away from what God has for you and letting God be first in your life. Have we missed a beat? How many times over the last day, month, week, year, have we chosen our way over God's way and felt okay after that moment of tension? Justified it. Allowed our lives to be deceived. Let me say this, that there is never a time, never, ever, ever, ever a time when we put ourselves before God's ways. Read through your scriptures, forwards and backwards. You will never find a time when God says, you know what is best for you, I'm okay with, when it crosses what I have laid out. Never once. We've come to believe that. And where is that doctrine from? It's not from scripture. It's not from God. Then where are we getting our belief system from? Who is truly Lord of our life then? I know this is tough talk, but I'd rather mess you up like God messed me up and see you in heaven than to let you feel comfortable and spend eternity without God, because that is the most important thing. There is nothing more important. There is nothing on this earth. And the problem is we have equated the temporary with the eternal. We have said what is now is equal or even in greater importance than what is eternal. What I want for me now or the next year or two in my life or in my family or in my job or in my situation is more important than the eternal. So I will equate it equally and allow me to make decisions that choose that and go with that. And we've been lied to by a deceiver, because there is a fight for your soul. We said it 7 weeks ago that what happens spiritually is reflected physically. It may look like something terrible, or it may look like a great opportunity, but recognize it for what it is. Your soul is at the balance. And it's in those moments of tension, who is God, that we look at ourselves. Have I been deceived? Have I been heading the wrong way? Where do I need to realign? Where do I need to remove the noise in my life and get back to what God is saying? Have I been so consumed with all of the things going on around me that I don't even hear what God is saying anymore, that God is an afterthought, and every so often I think about what God's will might be or God's way, and that he kind of fits in, or is God front and center again? Do I have allowed so much noise into my life that I don't hear him anymore? Do I need to clean that out? Do I need to clear that out? So some of you need to fast. We talked about that. So we need to begin to change some of the lifestyle and saying, okay, God, I need to listen. I'm so far out of the loop. I'm missing it. Am I walking in obedience? Am I doing what I know God wants me to do? Or have I become comfortable with a compromise with God? That God will make it up later, or God will understand. I'm sorry, but God doesn't understand. God doesn't compromise. If you have a problem with that, just look at Calvary. God didn't compromise on the price that he paid. And what's he tell us? Take up your cross. Follow me. You see, I don't know how to explain this, but just say it the way it is that we have adopted a very easy believism, a very easy Christianity. Christianity is difficult. Serving God is difficult. In fact, let me say this. Understand what I'm saying. You do not have the strength to be a Christian. But it's God's strength working through us that says, hey, it's my power, my ability. It's hard and difficult when you try to do it on your own. But when you do and make me Lord of your life, you understand and it changes everything. You find somebody that is so sold out to God and you ask them, is it a struggle? And they go, are you kidding me? It's the best life ever. I mean, but look at all the sacrifice you're making. Are you kidding me? I have the blessed life ever. I have this amazing life. But it looks so hard from the outside. You're right. From the natural. It's a life of submission to God. It's a life of putting my will under and allowing God's will. But there is something beautiful that changes. It's what we find, what God gives us. You want peace in your life? That's where you find it. You want joy in your life? You want all of the blessings from God? Look at this giving God that we look to and all these great things that God gives. How does that come by? It's when he is Lord of our life. When he is our God and Savior. And how does that happen? When I choose him as my Lord and Savior. When I treat him like God. When I submit to him like God. And what happens? God says, look at the love. Look at the power. Look at the peace. Look at the life that I have for you. We're selling ourselves short. We're selling God short. We're trying to do it with our own strength, and it's not working. And we become comfortable. And we've convinced ourselves that it's okay. And it's not. God has a better life for you. God has more for you. God has this completeness. But here's the deal. You're going to have to trust him. And in that moment of faith, those first few steps are scary. God, this is scary. But I trust you. God, this is hard, but I trust you. God, this is difficult. I'm giving up a lot, but I trust you. And you will begin to see that God never, ever fails. And you begin to live that, and you begin to be able to point to that. And when we come to a worship song where we start singing, Jesus never fails, it's not words anymore. It's like, oh, that's my story. That's my circumstance. I can tell you situation after situation. That's true. And that's worship. And I'm saying it. And I'm singing it. And I'm living it. God is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is everything. That I was lost. But I found a Savior. And I'm going to choose him. I'm going to choose him. So I just want to close this way, and I know this is more like a Sunday night than a Wednesday, and I'm so glad that you're here. Where are you at? Really? Have you been measuring in the space between? But when it comes head to head with God, have you become comfortable with saying no? You have a Savior that's beckoning, saying, oh, won't you let me be Lord? Would you stop going through the motions? Would you stop just going through the habits and allow me to really take hold of your heart? But you're going to have to trust me. I don't take your heart. It's something that you give. Would you give me your life? Again, I know you claim to be a Christian and a follower, but when's the last time that you just truly said, okay, God, it's all yours. Here's all of me. You see, that's how we receive the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Is when we come to God and we don't do a 60-40, 80-20, 90-10, 99-1, do we? It didn't work. It's a, I'm all yours, God. You've got all of me. Here's everything. God says, I inhabit that. Why? Because that is what praise is. God inhabits the praises of his people. It's worship. It all connects. But when was the last time that you truly gave it all to God and said, okay, here's what that means. It's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me something. But recognize what's at stake. Recognize that in light of eternity, it's the best trade you will ever make in your life.